Nice. Hi, welcome to the P&E. I am Jules.
And I am Lex.
I'm so excited to be here. I didn't even prepare a cold open or anything because I just want to launch into the topics that we have on deck. So the topics that we have on deck for today's episode have more in common than I think people will believe on the surface. Like just looking at these two things, right? Think about it. They're both of these things have evangelical, almost cult-like followings, like super fans, right?
Yeah.
Also, there is an equal other side, other group of people that are like, it's fake, the production value, the producers organized it all. And I think the most common similarity, they both start with the letter B. Obviously.
B is for Bachelorette. B is for Bigfoot.
There it is. We were talking about the Bachelorette premiere, which happened last week. Katie Thurston season, getting our thoughts on this hot mess express train of dudes. And then we're getting into Bigfoot. We're bringing it light, levity, laughter this episode after some vulnerable, heavier tones.
We've had some heavier episodes the past couple with, you know, talking about mental health. So we wanted to lighten the mood a bit. And we're like, well, what better way than to talk about a cryptid, both Chris Harrison and Bigfoot.
I wonder if there's one big, I'm sure you'll talk about this because you're coming at me with research. I don't know if there's like one Bigfoot or like Bigfoot is a species and there are multiples, but also like, can one become a Bigfoot? Is that what Chris Harrison is going to do now that he's been evicted from this franchise?
Can you transcend or that into a Bigfoot?
Yeah, exactly. Can you? Is that like part of your retirement package?
I mean, I feel like it could be. So there's only, you know, we'll discuss. We'll dive in.
I, for one, would love it if I could just stop shaving my body forever.
I mean, part of me is like, is Bigfoot just like a dude like covered in a lot of body hair and he's just like a hermit in the forest? But, you know, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. So
maybe
if that is your dream, I feel like you can aspire to it. Why not?
I also feel like, what are his grooming habits? Because we'll never see a hair out of. Okay. Oh, fantastic. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Well, should we talk about the grooming habits of the Bachelorette, fucking contestants now?
Please. Let's get into it.
I just want to say that Caitlyn is my favorite thing about the whole show. She's just unapologetically fucking like down to clown, and I am here for it.
Yeah. If you haven't, like, because I know you have like I wouldn't even call it a love-hate relationship with The Bachelor. I feel like you're just kind of like, why the fuck? What is this? Caitlyn's season is a lot of fun. It is a goddamn mess, but like she is such a joy and she's a lot of fun. So really enjoyed her season.
What was she? Because, you know, I just noticed this. I didn't know they did this, but how they like make each person like a thing. How like one of them was like the oldest bachelorette. And now it's like the sex positive bachelorette. And so it's like, what was Caitlyn's? Was hers just like,
I think so. I don't know enough about the history of The Bachelor to know if they intentionally went in with something, but she had been on, I think his name was Chris. She had been on a previous season and she was known as sort of like the wild card, like also very sex positive, very open about like her sexuality and her relationships. And she was kind of like the wild child and also Canadian, which I think maybe that was sort of her thing, was like, she's okay. the Canadian wild okay. child.
That makes so much sense, because in that one scene where like the guys were driving up and one of the dudes drove up in a truck and Tayshia was like, it's a truck. And Caitlin was like, I love a truck. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
That was peak for me. That was like the highlight of the whole episode for me.
Yeah. She's so funny. She's such a goof.
I love their energy. Like, Tayshia's like very mm-hmm. grounded and like fucking a professional. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin is like, let's get fun. Like, if something happens to catch fire, that's just what it is.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying the two of them being like Katie's host of the show and also sort of like her, just her team that she can go to. And yeah. she's like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, yeah, of all yeah. the people, I do think having both Tayshia and Caitlin is just great. Yeah. Like, super into
like
it.
I used to love Chris Harrison, right? He has this, like, mm-hmm. comforting, like, aura. But honestly, if I'm going to get advice on, like, what to do with 30 dudes, uh-huh. it's going to come from Tayshia and Caitlin. Like,
yeah.
they're just going to... They've been through it in a different way, yep. but also they're just women that have to deal with, like, dudes all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think both of them, too, of, like, they have such distinct personalities, and it, I don't know, both, like, all three of them, Katie, Caitlin, and Tayshia, they mm-hmm. all feel like people you could really meet, and maybe even people mm-hmm. you know, which is another yeah. thing that I love about the three of them.
Yeah. I was watching the premiere, and the thing that I was struggling with the most is as a viewer mm-hmm. watching, like, thinking of the viewer in mind, I was actually pretending to be a producer. I was like, would I cut it as a producer? And I realized I would not cut it as a producer. Here is why. If you keep the viewer in mind, then you know that people are watching this regardless of whether they believe it's real or not or whatever. They're watching it for the love story. They're like mm-hmm. learning about these people. They're rooting for them. And ultimately what you're selling people is a love story. And who doesn't love? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
However, I would have been like, keep some of the weird guys in and just see what happens. like the guy that looked like Stanley Tucci in prosthetics, like as if he were doing a Punk'd episode with the RV. Like, keep him no. in for what? I mean, I know he's a terrible choice and that's not like part of the love story, but like keep him in for at least one more episode just to put a little spice in the soup. You know what I mean?
Yeah. His name was Jeff and his career was surgical skin salesman. I don't know what that means. I looked it up and things were like, did you mean a dermatologist? Like, and I was like, no. And as I saw that, I was like, you know what he is. And it didn't help. He also looked like this and the RV. Really, I was like, he's Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. Like, hands down across the board.
I could see it.
I could see that. You can't. I was like, I need to call the FBI and be like, I think maybe you want to look into this guy. He's very questionable to me. And yet we've let him on The Bachelor. So what the fuck?
I mean, honestly, though, keep him on one more episode. I'm still going to say it. Keep him on one more. See what happens.
I love when she like went into the RV and she's like, okay, I need to go now. Bye. Like, boy.
I love that her, like, one of, like, her first, I feel like I'm yelling. I'm going to just bring my podcast voice back.
It's fine. I'll fix it. Because
I'm getting passionate. which, yes, thank you, by the way, for taking over our sound engineering. Yeah. Because, Lex, you are fucking crushing it.
Thanks.
But, yeah, and then he started to chew celery. And I was like, I don't know about that. Yeah, it was just like,
I do love that what? Celery was like the red flag. And I was like, not the fucking RV that he just rolled up in that kind of looks like a deathmobile. Like, wait a minute.
I also would not want to go on a second date with him. However, you got to give it up for a guy who brought snacks. Who else brought her food?
You know, oh, all right. That's
she's fair. Chugging. That's fair. She's chugging champagne all night. She's meeting 30 dudes, and she's like trying to like remember all their fucking names so she can remember who to give a rose to at the end of that fucking night. And he's the one that was like, maybe you should have a snack. Like, yeah. Celery's not the best snack. He probably should have brought her like a pizza, maybe some wings, you know, a nice bacon, egg, and cheese, a little breakfast for dinner. But now we're digressing. This is not a food podcast. Mm-hmm, but like, at least he brought homegirl snacks. That's it.
Yeah, sure. I was like screaming at the television. I was like, no, he's going to murder you.
I took.
And sell your skin.
I took some notes while I was watching. Uh-huh. And it's interesting because I just like stream of consciousnessed them. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to read. There are many, many ones. Many, many ones. But I just want to read you four like back-to-back bullet points as they came to me.
Oh boy. I'm buckled up. Okay. Let's do this.
James, the guy in the box that did all the confessionals in the box. His caption said La Jolla, but his accent said Staten Island. Next bullet point. James is definitely in the mob.
Point number three. What's in the box?
Point number three. Whoever composed the score to this is an evil, all caps, genius. Fourth bullet point. I'm V attracted to James from Staten Island, which is something I feel like I need to talk to my therapist about.
It's a lot of unpacking there, and that's not a box pun.
You're welcome. And that's just one of the guys. That was a box pun, and it was genius. I'm going to give you credit for that one. We're not just going to cruise by that.
Fine.
God, editing this episode is going to be a nightmare for you.
No, it'll be fine.
Screaming.
I figured out how to balance out the sound. We're good. We're good.
Amazing. Amazing. So, okay. Were there, I had certain thoughts about certain dudes. I didn't even learn all, I didn't bother to learn all of their names.
You one, can't. One, most one of them man, have the same name. So,
that's true. And then they start going into initials and it's a whole thing. I had some guys that I had very, very specific thoughts about.
Go on.
I'm worried to talk about them because some of them are mean. Some of them are mean. And I feel bad because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but also these things should be said.
Podcast, right?
Okay. These things I feel like should be said. And I want to get into those, but I would like for you to start. Did you have any guys that like either shot up a red flag for you that you were like, yes, oh, this is weird, or did Greg. You have guys that you were like,
Greg, the one who got her first impression rose? I was like, no, red flag. Like, there's something culty about him that I'm not vibing with, and I don't like him. Get him off the show. But okay. Everybody's like, oh my God, like, just get married now. He's so sweet. And I was like, there's just something about him that I'm like, I'm not into it. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But who are your red flags?
First of all, there was that one guy who, I think it's the same guy. I think it's Trey.
Mm-hmm. The truck?
Trey. Yeah. Yes.
The ball pit,
That moment, that like moment was cute. And I was like, okay, maybe he's redeemable. So he starts from a place of like, I know 40 digits of pi and I read Latin. And I'm like, that's great. Those are actually really cool skills to have. But like, you're not applying to college. Like, you're trying to find love and connect with a human being. What, like, at least say that like, if there was a zombie apocalypse, like, this is how I would be able to like protect us. Like, give me things I can use in a relationship.
Usable
like,
life skills, yeah.
Yeah, what are you going to stand up on a podium? 3.14. Like, no, I need to know tangible things if shit goes down. But, and so he was just like, it felt like he just wasn't there to be vulnerable or be emotional. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then he did the ball pit thing, and I was like, okay, well, maybe he can be romantic. Like, we'll see where this goes. And then it went so far in the other direction because he started, like, reading handwritten notes by his mom and talking about his mom a lot. And I was like, that is a man who will be in a relationship with his mom before he'll be in a relationship with you, and you will never succeed in that relationship. Like, they were like, I love a man who loves his mom.
Yeah.
But a man who treats his mom, gives like as much attention and treatment to his mom as he would to like a partner, tells me that he's not ready to completely disengage from the family he's a part of to branch off and have a new family. And I'm just saying that based on experience from some dudes that I dated.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's like the... It also, for me, that's always a red flag because it's like, are you going to expect your partner to be like an extension of your, like a motherly figure? Mm-hmm. Like,
As soon as I realized the relationship, I was like, nothing she ever cooks him, he will ever like.
Will ever be as good as mom's. Yeah.
Yeah. I forget how old he is. I feel like if he's like 24, I can understand that. If he's like 32, I'm like, okay, this is just don't even touch it.
I feel like he's in his early 20s, but I don't remember.
Yeah. What about Hunter, who was standing there at the rose ceremony looking like Adam Devine's roided out doppelganger, like twitching about not getting a rose and then getting one and like sweating?
Why
are they all so sweaty is the other question.
Right? Okay. They are in New Mexico, but I think they filmed this in like January or February. And I don't live in New Mexico, but I know deserts get pretty cold in the winter. So everybody is so sweaty. And I'm just like, maybe they're not great at having good circulation while they're filming, but everybody's so goddamn sweaty.
She looked flawless. I mean, I thought Katie looked super cute. I don't think the dress was doing her any favors. I think she has a hotter bod than that dress made her look. Sorry, just saying what I feel. I think we could have vavavoomed her a little bit more. I mean, if you are the Bachelorette, I feel like they should comp you a wardrobe at that point.
Oh,
like,
yeah. No, they don't. I think we've talked about this with Natalie on the show that like they don't. You have to, as a contestant on the show, you have to provide all of your own wardrobe. You, as far as I know, you do all of your own hair and makeup. Like it. People like take second mortgages out on their house just to be able to afford to be on the show, which is wild to me because that show makes so much money. It's so ridiculous.
They use it all for Chris Harrison's severance package.
Ooh.
Yep.
I think I felt like the dress she was wearing was a little too it reminded me of like in the mid-2000s when everybody was wearing like a lingerie camisole as a t-shirt and I was like, I'm not into this. What are we doing?
The tank tops that had like the bubble hems, the Empire Waist bubble hem culture top.
Oh no.
All I'm saying is that dress did a disservice to her boobs. It like did not show off her beautiful figure and her like cute little waist. Like it just was not, it just did not set her up for success. But she's luckily beautiful enough to for it to not matter.
But you like don't really think about it unless you're like, wait, what's happening with this dress?
The boys were dressed pretty fucking fly though, except for Catman. But
I
hate Catman.
I love Here's Catman. Here's the thing. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. Do you want statements? Who would like to make their argument first?
I think I liked him because he was willing to embarrass himself so much in front of everybody, because we know that Katie loves a gimmick, right? Like she was the girl who came with her dildo to Matt's season. very mm-hmm. gimmicky. And I remember being like, that girl is not going to get really far. Mm-hmm. And I think she was there for like at least half the season and wound up becoming a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. So I think he was like, I know she likes gimmicks. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go big. I'm going to go maybe too big. And mm-hmm. just to have the confidence to be like, I don't care if I completely embarrass myself and people make fun of me. Like, I'm here to make an impression and I care more about Katie. To me, I was like, I feel like this hopefully is mm-hmm. a green flag, not so much in the coming strolling up like fucking Cat in the Hat, but
yeah,
the I think it's really important that any of the contestants like make it very clear that they are there for that mm-hmm. like the person who is the bachelorette or the bachelor mm-hmm. and that at the end of the day, like they're the person that matters, because it's so easy to get caught up in the drama of the show mm-hmm. and the rivalries that you form with the other people in the like in the house, and then it becomes about mm-hmm. spending all of your time with the bachelor or the bachelorette being like, oh well, these four people are really mean to me, mer, and then it mm-hmm. like it becomes about that, and then you never really build a real relationship. Versus mm-hmm. Connor came in hot of like doing this for Katie, like, and also, yeah, I want to stand out, I want to leave an impression, but like making it so much about that person that he was willing mm-hmm. to look like a total doofus on national television. It was like, man, mm-hmm. I don't care. As long as she keeps me and she likes me, that's fine. So
yeah,
I think there's that. Also, he's like, what a nerd. Like he's a math teacher and he's a musician and he's like kind of dorky, and so I was very like warmed to that.
Yeah
So that's how I feel about Connor. We'll yeah. see. He might be
I'm gonna tell you something right now. That is exactly how I felt about him until I started to watch him closer.
Okay,
here is why I'm a no-go on Connor. So I have two hypotheses for him. Could be one okay. or the other. They are that, like, yes, the reason I caught into him and I was like, I love him, he's amazing, was every single guy that did his intro with her made it about mm-hmm. himself. He was just like, yep. I feel, I am, da da da. He made it all about her in that moment. And she saw, mm-hmm. like, oh, this person, like, has paid enough attention to my season that he, like, knows what I like and acknowledges it upon mm-hmm. first meeting me. Like, that is going to make anyone feel good.
Yeah.
However, when we get to the confessionals, especially that one specific one, like, I think it was like after they made out,
mm-hmm.
he has something crazy in his eyes. There's something very crazy in his mm-hmm. eyes that's like, I have obsessively watched her season with Matt, and I, like, know every little detail. Yeah. And I, like he's already coming in more committed to the relationship than someone that just met her yeah. should. And his eyes are shifty. And so there was something that I found, like, a little triggering. Like, not triggering, yeah. but, like, a little red flaggy. But then as I started to watch him more, I'm like, this is, like, he's too animated. So at first, my first hypothesis was he is mentally unhinged. Like, he maybe already believes that he has a relationship with yeah. her in his mind. And, like, she just needs to, like, confirm it or whatever. But then I moved past that and I was like, I think he's an actor. Like, he's trying to break into acting. And he's trying to, like, gimmick his way into the industry. Because if you go back and watch him talking about their date and, like, he was just like, she's so amazing. Like, wow. Like, oh. And then he, like, starts to tear up and his eyes are all bugging and crazy. And I'm just like, he has to be acting. Like, at this point, he's either severely mentally unhinged or he's acting. Those are the only two options that yeah. I think exist.
Now I want to go back and rewatch the premiere and be like, wait, maybe I missed it.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm, yeah, now I'm curious to, like, rewatch mm-hmm. it with him and pay more attention to his body language. I think I was just, like, I was so frustrated that she was so, like, smitten with Greg, because I've already told you, like, mm-hmm. I don't like him. I just, mm-hmm. I don't know. There's something that, like, I got, like, spine tingle, and not in a good way, when mm-hmm, he was mm-hmm, introduced mm-hmm. like when we're seeing his family, and I was just like, no, I don't like this. Like, I feel icky,
I had the same sensation go up my spine, but now that I'm reflecting back on it, I can't pinpoint what it was. It was something around, like, right before he gave her the necklace, something he said, or, like, something about him, like, I was like, whoa. It, like, was going smooth until that point. And honestly, I don't know if that's, like, a he thing or if that's, like, the producers splice the wrong clips together thing.
I don't know. Well, because I do think, like, and I love, I can't remember who it was, but there was a guy who was like, I just wanted to give you this watch because it's been in my family for 200 years. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, and he was like, I'm kidding. Like, oh, I wouldn't do that. Like, that's crazy. I'm not going to give you a family heirloom. Like, but I did want to give you this. Like, I saw this at the airport on my way here. And I was just like, oh, like, as a reminder, like, we don't have a whole lot of time together doing this, but anytime we do spend together, I want to make sure it matters and it's about us. And I was like, that's actually really sweet. And also, I like that you made the joke. And then I think right after that was Greg, where he gave her the necklace. And I was like, that's what we're talking about. Like, it's a lot when people like are like, here's this thing that belongs to my family. And you're like, don't do that. You just met this person. Like, what if it doesn't work out? But
I mean, love an airport. I do love an airport gift shop situation.
I can't remember which contestant it was that did that, but I thought it was really funny. I was like, cute. And also, you've watched the show enough to be like, I'm going to make a joke about some of the ridiculous shit that happens on the show.
Yeah.
Wish I could remember who. Corey, that maybe? That
football player needs to pick a personality. I get it. As someone that does also slip into an accent from time to time.
Yes.
Like, I understand. However, I don't know if this is read the room. I don't know if this is the audience for it. Like, considering if I was going on that show knowing how snip happy the producers are, like, I would not, like, I would overanalyze my sound bites to just be like, I can't.
Yeah.
Be made into
he reminds
fodder.
Me of kind of like a goofy theater kid who like hasn't really figured themselves out yet. So they're just trying on a lot of different hats. And I'm curious to see like who he is when he like lets the showmanship of his personality drop away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still.
And I think he's
like a soft spot for him.
26. I think 25 or 26.
I can't remember.
And so it's like you're 26 playing football in a foreign country. Like, I want to know. Honestly, I kind of want him to get his own spinoff where they just like track him over a season of football as he plays abroad and like captures his personality. And they like run it on ESPN or some shit.
I would finally watch ESPN if he had his own spinoff.
Thank you. We can pull in a whole new demographic. They could tap into the Bachelor fucking viewing base. Yo, ESPN. I know I say this every episode, and every episode it's a different like person, enterprise, channel, whatever. But like ESPN, call me. Call us.
We've got some ideas. Yeah. Oh man. But I think overall, I'm excited for this season.
Yeah.
See where we go from here. How about you? Because I know you don't really enjoy The Bachelor. I feel like you are watching this out of I feel like it's painful for you to go on this voyage.
It's so painful. But that's just because I'm a skeptic. No, we need to have these are not the difficult conversations we need to have. But these are like the fun, like upbeat. Let's rib around. Anyway, I'm losing my, I don't know. Edit this out because I don't know what's happening. I got excited about ESPN and my notes. I hate watch the show and I'm very skeptical. But I think that's because I'm skeptical about love. Like I'm a cynic and I like to really repress and keep in all my emotions. Anyone that listened to our last two episodes will know that. So I think I watch it analytically and I watch it to be like, what are the producers doing and what could I learn from the producers? What have they tapped into? And so I'm not really watching it. And that's why I had this crazy moment where I was like listening to Greg speak and I like zoned out because he's like, my niece, like made this and da-da-da-da-da. And he's like talking about his feelings. And the fucking orchestral music that's in the background does not at all match the moment.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Sorry, I forgot. So Greg, his like niece makes like a macaroni necklace and he gives that to Caitlin. Or not Caitlin, Katie. Yeah. Okay, I was necklace. Yeah, that was like, oh, how romantic. And I did think it was cute. Like, it was kind of goofy. But I think he might be a serial killer, so.
No, that was the guy with the RV. He's gone, though.
Well, I think they both are, because remember, pillars of community. Yeah. Like, serial killers are usually like, oh, my God, I never would have noticed.
I don't know how proud I am of this. But go on. Because I feel like I should be like, this is not to uphold toxic masculinity in any sense of the word. Mm-hmm. I think this is just because I grew up watching the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. But like that one dude, like I was like, oh, whatever, all these dudes. Like, oh, yeah, I guess that one's cute. But when he like almost got into a fucking fight, I was like, yes, beat his ass. And I was, and like that made him attractive to me a little bit. And I'm not proud of it, but like, I just need you to know where I stand. Also, this is how I feel about the season. Looking at my notes, I have a bullet point that starts it out, all of it. Literally, it just says, guy took out crystals. Then there are about 30 bullet points between statement and all my other stream of consciousness thoughts. And the second to last bullet point is, guess she wasn't into that dude's crystals. That, because I'm not going to learn their names. And so I got to know how to tell them apart.
You can't learn their names until like at least, because I think they start with 30 contestants.
Yeah.
And then maybe once they've whittled it down to like 12 to 15, you're like, okay, there people are getting enough time that I've maybe started to form opinions. But honestly, until the end when you're like, okay.
I think I feel about this season the same way I feel about every season that I've watched, which is like three now. This is the third one. And it's, I watch it for the purely entertaining, well-produced madhouse that it is. But then once there are like four people, like right before hometowns is when I'll stop. Because then I'm like, I don't want to meet your families. I don't want to start actually rooting for you and actually believing in love. And so then I stop watching. Like I watch for like the real world-esque drama, and then I just like dip out before
you
the actual
should
romance.
Watch Bachelor in Paradise, because that is an experience. That one is so what they do is like after, so they're about to start, once Katie's season is over, Bachelor, the next Bachelor in Paradise will start, and that will have like the men who didn't make the cut on Tayshia's season, they'll be on that season, and then I don't know who the women are going to be, but what they do is they bring like the people who didn't win the season. Well, sometimes they do. Anyway, they put them all on an island, or they put some of them on an island for like 6 weeks and just let them wreak havoc. And I think they start with like four or five men and then like four or five women. And the way that it works is it rotates every week. So the first week, like, the men will give out the roses to the women. And usually maybe there's five guys and eight women. And so then three of them will go home. And then the next week, the women will give out the roses. Oh, and they will introduce new people. They'll introduce new men and women throughout that week to see if you are like, oh, I came here to meet Joe from – like, if I was on it, I'd be like, I came here to meet Joe from Tayshia's season. So – whatever.
So and this is basically Bachelor Nation's version of Survivor.
Exactly. But it's romantic, and it gets, well, sort of romantic, and it gets fucking insane. I watched, I think it was season two with Emma, who's my roommate, and she was like, there was a couple that starts off real strong at the beginning. I was like, oh my God, I'm so happy for them. And she just gave me this like look, and I was like, wait, does it go poorly? And it, some of the twists and turns that it has, and this, there is drama that the producers do not even need to try to do. Or they'll hear, like, maybe there's a couple that's like, they're doing okay. And then somebody will be like, I really wish this person would show up. And then the producers are like, okay. And then all of a sudden that person shows up and then drama ensues. Or, you know, somebody's like, oh, I see this couple's starting off really well. But like, man, if I got a date card and was able to like take that person out on a date, like that would be great. And then all of a sudden the producers are like, here's a date card, go make do. And like, they just gently stir the shit. But really, it's these people just going off the walls.
How do I produce The Bachelor in Paradise? Do they have any openings?
No idea, but.
Because that sounds right up my alley. That sounds like, did you remember Netflix? I think like last year, 2020, put out a show where it was an international reality TV show. They drop all these gorgeous, gorgeous singles on an island paradise and tell them, you will complete tasks. You will be able to like get voted off or whatever. And like you're all 12s on the 10 scale, but you have to remain celibate the whole time or else you disqualify yourself and don't get a chance at like the, I think it was like $10,000 or something.
Jesus.
And when I tell you that these people are so attractive, not all of them, but some of them, I'm just like, even I, who conventionally, like I buck against conventions, I like to be a contrarian, even I was like, I see it.
Damn. I haven't heard this, but I would say Bachelor in Paradise is kind of like that. There's not like tasks or anything that they have to do. It's really just hanging out on an island, but they really like, I mean, they do the thing that reality television does where they know, because some of these people have been on seasons before. So or they were on the same seasons. They know like, oh, these two people do not get along. So we will make sure that they are on the same season. And oh, they're both into the same person. Yeah. We'll make sure that that person that they're both into is there. And it's like, it's rough. And if you're a Bachelor fan, there is one guy and he's on Caitlyn's season. His name is Nick. He was on Caitlyn's season, and then he was on the season before Caitlyn, where I think Andy was her name, where he was like, he's that guy. And if you watch, Nick has gotten some criticism that like he's kind of an asshole, but I would argue so. In spoilers for The Bachelor for seasons that have been out for years. In Andy's season, so when she's the Bachelorette, Nick makes it down to the final two. And she goes with the other guy, who then turns out to be like incredibly manipulative and abusive and is trash. Then Nick is on Caitlyn's season, makes it down to the final two. Caitlyn goes with the other guy. And the other guy is like sweet or whatever, but after Caitlyn and Sean dated for like 3 years, and after they broke up, Caitlyn was like, he maybe wasn't like emotionally abusive, but needed a lot of validation, was very jealous. And you could see all of that on the season, like wild. And then Nick is on Bachelor in Paradise. And when he's on Bachelor in Paradise, the guy from Andy's season that he was up against, Josh, they bring him in. Josh steals the girl that Nick is really into. And so you're just like watching Nick continuously just get beaten down. And he is, I will say, like, I personally find him as like somebody, he seems like a really, and when I say a nice guy, I mean like a genuinely like good, decent human, and is very self-aware and like puts the needs of whomever kind of in front of himself, or he like talks about it, and he tries to be very diplomatic, especially in Caitlyn's season. And it's just like watching him have this like shit pulled over and over and over again. I'm like, this is Nick's villain origin story. Like, if he becomes like a reclusive super villain who lives in a castle on top of a mountain and tries to take over the world, like I see it. And I don't think he does. I think he's like in a committed, like very healthy, I hope, relationship now. But it's tough to watch. It's tough to watch him just continuously get beaten down. And that's Bachelor in Paradise. So you like, you watch these people that you know, if you watch the show, you like know their histories, you know kind of what's happened. You know the pain that they've gone through. And then you watch it just like get heightened to an 11. And it It can be rough. It can be real rough.
Wow.
It can also be a great time. So Bachelor in Paradise. I feel like you would like it because it is very chaotic.
I love chaos. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, okay, well, before we get, we're going to get into Bigfoot because that's the juice of our episode. But so I know it's too early to tell. So many things will change. But as it stands right now, one episode in, who is the person you're most rooting for?
Oh, God. I feel like I know you don't like him. I feel like Connor right Cat now. Catboy. Yeah. But I do feel like it will change.
Okay. Yeah, so once his real intentions come out, it will change. Well, mark my words.
Yeah. Also, there are so many other people that like I have no – I don't know anything about them because like in Caitlyn's season, I think I started rooting off for Sean, who she wound up with, but I was very much like pro Sean. And then as the season went on, I became very pro Jared, who there's a lot of like, you get to watch Jared's growth as well on Bachelor in Paradise. But I became very like, oh my God, Jared is wonderful and perfect, like obviously. So I know it will change as we get further into the season.
Okay. That's fair.
And then I became very anti Sean. I was like, fuck Sean, he's the worst. So yeah, that's how I have no idea
what you're talking about. It's right fine, now, but it doesn't matter. I feel your emotions.
Essentially, like the person I was rooting for at the very beginning became the person that I was rallying against the hardest at the end.
That is the biggest heartbreak that television can ever give us.
But then I found like other people that I was like, yes, go precious baby angel. Yeah. And I like Jared was very much the dark horse for me. And now I like,
okay, I'm going to watch it just so I know exactly what you're talking about. Cause I don't have any idea.
It's a wild season.
Yeah.
It's a wild season.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's get into, we want to get into Bigfoot. Yeah.
Big
or wait, did you want to say who you think, like who you're rooting for? Yeah.
Who I'm rooting for? Well, when it comes to substance, I hated them all equally. So I'm going to go by looks alone. And the person that gave me a lady boner was the district attorney, the California district attorney.
Yeah.
His name was like Andrew M.
Andrew.
I don't even remember anything that he said, but I just remember, like, it's just something where, like, I would be watching and he would start moving. It's almost like, you know how, like, some predators, if you don't move, they won't see you? Like, they're drawn to movement. Maybe this is just alien movies that I've watched, but, like, they're drawn to movement. And so it's like whenever he would move, I would like an antenna would go up and I would just black out.
So you're rooting for Andrew?
I think so. Hey,
you know, whatever does
I don't know what it is. I literally do not know why, but here we are.
Pretty hot.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
All right.
Equally hot, Bigfoot. For some, that may be someone's type.
Oh boy, probably we're not. Oh God!
If they're listen, if there are people that love and marry their cars or their microwaves, then there are definitely people that love like a Bigfoot bod.
I don't need to do the research. I know that it's out there because the internet.
Wait! Are you now talking about Bigfoot porn?
Probably. I mean, you know it's out there, right? Like 100%. If there's Edward Scissorhands porn, there's absolutely Bigfoot porn. Like,
you know that how you said that, like, Jeff, when he was talking to Katie, you got that chill up your spine.
Yes.
I literally just got that chill up my spine. I do not want to talk about Bigfoot porn anymore. It's making me very uncomfortable. I'm sorry if that's something you're into. I'm not judging you. I just am not into it. That's just where I'm at. And so why don't you, instead of us talking about the aesthetic virility of Bigfoot, let's talk about the facts. What are the facts? What do we know to be true?
Yes. Real quick, did you have an intro that you wanted to do for this, or was Bachelor?
That was the intro.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, the facts about Bigfoot that I – all right. Oh, dear God. This is going to be a fucking – in case you weren't already aware, listeners, this is going to be a mess and, like, not based on anything.
I may still be wearing my Bachelor producer hat. So this episode could just genuinely be rooted in chaos. And if you come absolutely. With us on the ride, I guarantee you, if you stay with us on this journey, then I promise, I make a solemn vow that you will, at the end of this, feel something.
Probably just, what the fuck?
That's something. Just, you
know, yeah, that's
that
true.
I have delivered on and my promise.
Look, we said we were coming at you guys with
just
lighthearted
P.T. wildness.
I
Barnum'd the situation.
Oh, no. Christ. All right, facts.
Which is another episode we should do. I'm sorry. Go on, facts. Ignore me.
Put a pin in it. Facts, and I'm going to use the term loosely, about Bigfoot. So I pitched this, like, Bigfoot to Julia, and honestly, a big part of that was, like, I just want a reason to rewatch BuzzFeed Unsolved's episode on Bigfoot, which is part of where my research ? Came from. And also, I re-listened to an episode of That's Why We Drink, episode 215, which I do recommend. M presents far more facts. Their research is way better. And also, it's a good time. Okay, so Bigfoot, facts, quotes, is a cryptid, which a cryptid is an animal that's been claimed to exist, but there's actually no proof that it exists. So Loch Ness Monster, Mothman, the Jersey Devil, Chupacabra, and Bigfoot. And they don't necessarily have to have supernatural or mythical powers, but a lot of times they do. So
amazing.
Do with that what you will.
I'm in.
Also, so I didn't know this or remember this, but Bigfoot is a umbrella term for, like, a large hairy ape-like creature or giants. So when we say Bigfoot, it could refer to a lot of things. It's sort of like when you say a rectangle is a square.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of general term, like, a square can mean a lot of different things or a lot of different shapes. Anyway, that doesn't matter.
So Bigfoot, wait, okay, hold on. Does, so, like, it or what's the difference? And I don't know if I'm jumping ahead. I didn't prepare for class.
That's fine.
Bigfoot versus Yeti, same? Are they cousins? Are they, so, like, what's happening there?
Yeah. So a Yeti is a Bigfoot, but a Yeti is a Bigfoot. Sasquatch is a Bigfoot. Yahweh is a Bigfoot. Like, so Bigfoot refers to any of those cryptids. And so the term, like, Sasquatch is more commonly used for Bigfoots, like, that are, yeah.
like
Sasquatch.
Brown bears, black bear. They're all bears.
They're all bears, but they're, yeah. So Sasquatch is more commonly, like, when you think of Sasquatch, that's going to be more in, like, the Pacific Northwest area. Okay. And that's where most of what I'm talking about, actually all that I'm talking about, is from there. So, like, Yeti is found in the Himalayas. I will say Yeti and the abominable snowman, those are the same. Okay. So those two terms are interchangeable. Yahweh is, I believe, Australian. Different regions have different names for it, and their characteristics may vary a little bit. But Bigfoot is the, like, umbrella term for all of those different versions of this cryptid. So the one that I'm talking about more specifically, I'm going to call it Bigfoot just because I think that's a better name than saying Sasquatch over again. But specifically zeroing in.
I actually love that word.
Really? Sasquatch?
Yeah, it does something satisfying to my mouth.
Oh, it is. It's a satisfying word to say. It's also a word that I feel like if I say it over and over again, I will start to mispronounce it.
Oh, or, yeah, like, I mean, we could call him Sassy for short.
Sassy, aw. I also feel like it's a word that if I repeat over and over, I'll be like, yeah. I don't think that word exists anymore.
Yeah.
Sassy. So the Pacific Northwest Sasquatch. So this is, like, I think the one that most people, at least in America, think of when they think of the term Bigfoot. So it is claimed to be, like, its average height is about 7 foot 10 inches, so almost 8 feet tall. And they, in terms of weight, can range anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 pounds. They have a like short or no neck. They are bipedal, which means they walk on their two hind legs. And they're usually described as having like darker skin with black, brown, reddish brown, or charcoal gray hair covering their entire bodies. And some people have described like their face as a perfect blend of a humanoid face and a like a gorilla face. There are some quote scientists unquote who believe, or experts who believe, that Sasquatch was created from human females who had mated with unknown hominids, so like primates basically, which makes me uncomfortable to think about. So getting into the Bigfoot porn that we mentioned.
Nope, let's not get into that.
Skipping right over that.
Here's the thing. I feel so in awe of the people that like seek Big Feet out. Bigfoots?
So Merriam-Webster has said that, I think it's Merriam-Webster, whatever. Experts have said that Bigfoots or uh-huh. Big Feets is uh-huh. either or is appropriate when referring to multiple Bigfoots. What?
Okay, fantastic. Either or. So, yeah, so the people correct. That like seek them out and like try to get their uh-huh. photo or try to like, uh-huh. like, y'all are so brave that I think you're too stupid to know you're brave. Because if something that is 8 feet tall mm-hmm. and 2,000 pounds mm-hmm. comes charging anywhere near me, mm-hmm. Are you kidding? Absolutely not. I am running as fast as I can in the other direction.
Yeah.
So either like y'all are testing Darwinism or I don't know what, but.
Well, yeah. What like, is the plan? If you see
one. Chasing Big Feet, like.
No. Mm-mm. I don't. I'm not. Yeah. I just feel like it could not go well in either direction. You know, if you yeah. find one, then what? Like, what do yeah. you do? Hopefully they're nonviolent, but yeah. if they are like 8 feet tall and 2,000 pounds, like you're getting murked. Like you're done.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
And mm-hmm. that fucker, what we know, or I think what we assume is he lives off the land. I don't know. He yeah. could have like a super well hidden like man cave where he like has an yeah. HGTV and Cheetos and all that. We don't know. But if he's living off the land, if we're making that assumption, he not mm-hmm. only knows the terrain, so he already has a mental advantage to anyone else that's there, but then also he literally just hikes all day. He is so swole.
Yeah.
That yep. you got, like, that's 2,000 pounds of probably, like, 2% body fat. The rest is just straight muscle.
Yeah.
Like, I am not going anywhere near that much muscle. I don't know if we can have a conversation. What if he's just like, nope, like that's an it. Enemy. Gotta charge. Like yep.
we're done. Yeah.
Although I feel like getting murked by Bigfoot would be a badass way to go out though. Now that I think about it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna go out anyway, why not? So this is one of my last like descriptive points about him, and this goes back to you to ask like what is Bigfoot's grooming habits?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I would say none, because according to experts, he smells fucking awful, like terrible smell. Some have described it like smegma, which gross.
Why? What? So these are the people that claim to have been close enough to smell Bigfoot.
I guess. Or like.
Again, like not a wise decision. Not a wise right. decision.
Yeah. Why are you so mean to Bigfoot?
Yeah. Like, but then I feel like, why do we. Okay. Here's the real question. Mm-hmm. I know we said we weren't going to do a vulnerable, like another vulnerable episode so soon.
Uh-huh.
But I think we need to talk about what's really important here, which is why are we glamorizing Bigfoot? Like. So what he probably hasn't combed his hair ever, and yet we're showing him with these beautiful flowing locks. Like I would like, it's like airbrushing a model on a magazine. Like, can we not?
I know, just be truthful.
Yeah.
Or I mean, I think a lot of it is like nobody's actually ever seen him. So they're like, yeah. Oh, I think he would have a luscious mane.
Even though
he doesn't bathe.
What do the experts say on like the intellectual level of the intelligence level of Bigfoot? Like, are we assuming he's like an apex predator level of smart?
Well, so I didn't see or read anything that was like intelligence level. There was one, like, somebody, I think this was in like the 1940s, claimed to have stumbled into Bigfoot, and Bigfoot took him back to their cave with the Bigfoot family and like made him a vegetarian meal. So like Bigfoot is apparently a vegetarian. And wanted to like keep this human as a pet and was like gonna feed you vegetarian food. So they seem to be very like compassionate, apparently, or at least according to this one experience. But I think they seem to have more like ape-like qualities. So I think apes are incredibly smart. So, I would say probably like, based off of my research, the same intellect as like a gorilla or a primate.
Here's another pitch. You ready for this? Maybe. Of you like environmental people and like PETA and like all those people, you need to make Bigfoot your spokesperson. Like, I mean, obviously it doesn't have to be a real Bigfoot, real quote unquote, for those that don't believe.
Get him in a necktie and have like, press conferences.
Yeah, just because if you think about it, like 2,000 pounds with a 2% body fat, all vegetarian, everyone that's like, you need protein, everyone would just like be immediately silenced.
Bigfoot, who knew he was the key?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Again, we are available for consulting services.
So goofy.
That's it. That's the pitch.
There you go. So this is getting maybe a little bit more into like, there's very little like expert facts about this episode.
This episode.
So a lot of people are like, oh, if Bigfoot exists, why haven't we found him? Blah, blah, blah. So most primatologists, who are people who study primates, don't believe that Bigfoots or Big Feets exist. However, our Queen Jane Goodall believes that there is a possibility that they may exist. So there you go.
She definitely had like a forbidden romance with one. And all I have to say is, good on you, Jane girl. You get it. You get some. Good for you. Again, 2,000 pounds, 2% body fat. We got to talk about this, people. Jesus Christ.
I don't, like, structurally, how does that work? Whatever. Let's not get into it. A lot of people are like, no, these don't exist. Although Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, who is a footprint expert, has stated that a lot of the footprints he believes that a lot of the footprints that people have found are legit because they have like a running gait to it, which means so if you're think about like when you're walking in the sand, you can try this the next time you're at the beach. The next time you're at the beach, walk through the sand and then like go back to where you started and then run in the sand, and you can see the difference that your foot makes in terms of the impression pattern because of the way that your weight is distributed while you're moving differently. And so according to him, he was like, these would be really hard to fake. Like the pressure points they align with Bigfoot running through the forest. I think these are legit. And also, to backtrack a little bit, so the term Bigfoot came from in, I think it was 1958, where my notes are all over the place.
We don't peddle facts here. It doesn't matter. Make up a year.
Yeah, whatever. It was 1958. I think I wrote it in a different There it is. I wrote my notes online, like in a Google Doc and also in a notebook because I'm chaotic. Here we go.
You are such a fucking Capricorn.
I was like doing three different things and I was like, just pick a place to put your notes. So 1958, Gerald Crewe went to, I think it was his construction site, and he found like a giant footprint in at his construction site. So he made a cast of it. And then he like sent it to a journalist. They published it in a newspaper. And this is where the term Bigfoot came from, because the cast was of a Bigfoot. Like it was just a large foot. So
okay,
that's where the name comes from.
Okay. I have a hypothesis. I'm sorry. Go on.
Yeah. Well, so then in, I think this was in 2003, this man, his name is Ray L. Wallace. He passed away already, but his sons came forward and they were like, hey, FYI, that big bit, that like footprint that Gerald Crewe found in 1958 was a hoax. Our dad was a prankster and he had just created like a giant foot and would go around like pressing it into the earth to make people think that they had found a giant. So
venture with me on this mental journey, if you will.
Sure.
What if their father is not a prankster so much as a werewolf? Because if you think about it, what if we've been confusing Bigfoots for werewolves for so long? And that's why we see them so rarely, because most of the time they're just dudes.
Holy shit. I'm obsessed with this. Wait.
And the kids were just on the cover for their dad, because even though he's a werewolf, he still has the soul. The soul of a human.
So maybe like werewolves, when they transform, because, okay, so in BuzzFeed Unsolved, the like some of the sounds that that they talk about, like Bigfoots apparently make, are howling. So what if you're right? What if, but instead of like at the full moon, people aren't turning into wolves. They're turning into this like kind of ape-like creature, which is a little bit closer to what humans do. That's why they're bipedal. But that's why like we've never found a carcass of one. We can't find DNA that matches, because it's just like human DNA. Julia, you're brilliant. Wait, this is our next movie. TM. Don't steal it. We'll know. This will have a timestamp on it.
I already know. Oh my God, no. You might murder me for this, but I already know who we're casting as the lead. It's Hugh Jackman. Okay. There will be musical numbers. we're doing like The Greatest Showman, but it's Bigfoot, werewolves, where it's it's on. And he would be so down. So down.
Feel like there's a Wolverine joke in there somewhere and I can't wrap my head around it.
You know who else we're casting? I don't know in what role yet, but it's happening. Josh Gad.
Wait, what if he's the like expert? He's the hunter. He's trying to find Bigfoot.
Yes. Yes.
And then he knows he discovers the secret and he like swears to keep it for whatever reason. Man,
okay. What was that? There was that one movie. It was adapted from a book. Anne Hathaway was in it, but it was like these two people that keep meeting. No, over the years. It's a romance, and they keep meeting over the years, and they keep not getting together, and like having stupid fights, and then not talking, and then like whatever. But like the whole time, you're like, you're meant to be together, and so at the very end, they like end up together, and then she gets hit by a bus and dies.
Fuck.
And I shouldn't laugh, and I'm sorry if I spoil that for anyone, but like after all of that, that's what happens. And so maybe that's how we tell the story of Josh Gad and Hugh Jackman's werewolf, as like them like forgetting about it, never truly forgetting about each other, but like not like having interactions or connections, and then like 10 years go by and they meet again by chance, and it's just like, and then like through it all, like he keeps the secret. Even though like there's tension and there's arguments involved every time they re-meet, and like, and his friends, and like no one believes him. And then he like, Josh Gad ends up like meeting someone and she believes that, like, or he believes, I don't know, partner wise believes, like, I believe in you, but like everyone else around him is like, you're crazy. And then like, there's a whole other thing where like the partner now has to navigate, like, who do I, you know, anyway, it's a thing where.
Love this.
Yeah. And it's a musical, obviously.
If you're going to have Hugh Jackman and Josh Gad in it, it has to be a musical. Sorry.
Yeah.
We can't not have it be a musical.
I'm obsessed with this. Kind of hate this casting choice from like a socio current situation. Like, we need to have, we need to not do the tropes. But like Amy Adams as Josh Gad's wife. I don't know why that makes sense to me.
I don't know.
But this cast is too white and too male.
Yeah. But there is like, maybe because she's got like a, Amy Adams, I feel like, does such a good job of being real, like playing very serious roles, but also her comedic timing is fantastic.
And her musicality.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. She'd obviously get a solo.
Yes. Obviously. Like, trying to figure out why does her husband, like, why is he so obsessed with the cycles of the moon now? Why is he and disappearing like, once? Maybe she thinks he's a werewolf. There's a lot you could unpack.
And then the whole conflict of, like, when she finds out the truth, because she will find out the truth, like, does she stay or does she go? This movie is writing itself. I don't know that anyone would go see it. I mean, they would because of the cast, but also, like,
people went and saw Cats, okay? Look, I'm just saying, people will come see this.
I did not see Cats. I was personally offended by the trailer, and then at any time the trailer would come back on, I would turn off the TV and walk away. Oh, man,
the singing roaches. Absolutely
not.
What the fuck? Anyway.
Absolutely not. Anyway.
Bigfoot, yeah.
Is a werewolf. That's it. We solved it.
Is a werewolf. Yeah, done. Done, done, and done.
Goodbye.
So a lot of people are like, I don't believe it exists, sort of to the point of that you brought up. I mean, we've solved it now, like Bigfoot changes with the cycles of the moon. But the thing where a lot of people are like, they don't exist because any DNA samples that have been found, like any hair samples or anything, they always come back as like dog. Camel was one, unknown, which doesn't mean like, oh, it's unknown, it's a cryptid. It just means that there wasn't enough DNA, like genetic material for them to run it against anything. So
is that the official statement they gave you?
Yes.
Well, official. Suspect.
Sus as fuck.
They're hiding something. You should see me in the Reddit forums. It is heaven to me. Just me and a bunch of either other nerdy people just like conspiracizing about like UFOs and Bigfoot. Absolutely.
Apparently a lot of the personal statements in the Reddit threads about Bigfoot, a lot of like, this is one of my favorite facts that I stumbled upon, was that like in a lot of first person eyewitness accounts of seeing Bigfoot, most people are like, yeah, he was just running through the woods screaming. And if that's like not relatable, like, hell yeah. He's just,
listen. Listen, that makes complete sense to me. Here's the thing. If you are someone that at this moment in your life, you feel like stripping down all of your clothes, running through the woods, and screaming at the top of your lungs wouldn't make you feel better, then I don't know if this is the program for you.
Yeah.
I like, also, please call us and give us tips, because how are you so, what's happening? Are you okay? I would gladly do that.
Yeah.
I would gladly do that.
Also, so I think personally,
I just don't want to get arrested.
Yeah. And that's where it like gets a little sketchy. So in terms of like, does Bigfoot exist or not? There's some people like with the footprints, they're like, they look at them and they're like, actually, they're too smooth to be like, there's not enough, there aren't enough like cracks and crevices and unique patterns to the, cause, like your toes also have like your, like with fingerprints, you also have like toe prints. Like there's not enough detail in the footprints to be like, yeah, that's legit. So a lot of people are like, no, the footprints are fake. The DNA material is fake. Like we have no, there's no evidence that they exist. But again, to your point, if it's a human and they're transforming, duh, like there you go. Also, we've never found carcasses. We've never found any like dwellings of them. Like there's no substantial.
What if it's just a bug?
In the code. Oh, in our, like, in the program? And then just forgot? So maybe.
Yeah.
I was honestly thinking, I'm like, maybe Bigfoot is just a total recluse, like the OG at quarantining. It has a lot of social anxiety, hates people, just kind of.
Nick Offerman. Nick Offerman is
might
Bigfoot.
Be.
The werewolf.
Might be. There you go.
Okay, our movie just became a sitcom.
Holy shit. This is the Parks and Rec spinoff. This is what happens.
It ties in so beautifully. You go back to the same. Go back to Pawnee. All about those parks.
Yeah. Well, the most. Okay. So the most. And this it takes place in a park. I'm all over the place today. Sorry, y'all.
Same.
So the biggest piece of evidence that that Bigfoot does exist, and this is the one that like people haven't been able to fully debunk yet, is you may have seen it or seen like stills from it. But in 1967, Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin, who were two Bigfoot experts, caught Bigfoot on video. And it's the one you've probably seen. It's the one where they're like, all of a sudden you see like Bigfoot stroll into frame and he's like walking and then he turns and he looks into the camera and he just keeps going. And a lot of people have tried to recreate it. They've broken it down and a lot of people have looked at it. Like you can see the muscle moving. I think there's even a tumor on the leg. Like the motion of it, they haven't been able to recreate. And a lot of people are like, it's a man in a suit. It was 1967, so a suit like that would have been incredibly expensive and very hard to create. So a lot of people are like, nah, that's proof, man, that he exists. So it's like one of the biggest pieces of evidence that people have not been able to debunk. So do with that information what you will.
Did they ever respond to how they felt in the moment that they locked eyes with a 2,000-pound, 2% body fat being?
Yeah, I think Bob Gimlin said that he was like really sort of like he was disappointed that they had kind of released that video because it wound up tearing his and Roger's friendship apart. But they both said that like up until I think Bob is still alive, but Roger passed away. Both of them though stood by like, this is real. We saw it. Like, it was one of the scariest moments of our life. This is absolutely true. So
are there any documentaries about their relationship?
Probably. Like, did I watch them?
Okay.
No.
Either a documentary or like an indie film we need about these two guys. Because the the Bigfoot story is like peripheral. That's how you get it in the door. Yeah. But like it's actually about their relationship and how it falls apart.
Aww. Oh. Oh, God.
You would watch it. That show would probably be nominated for an Oscar. Let's probably. Be honest.
Yeah. It'd be like, oh, this heart-wrenching film.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the main points. But what I was going to circle to. So Roger and Bob, they filmed this in the Six Rivers National Forest, which, and this is what I texted you about. And I was like, can we go to there? So in Six Rivers National Park is a town called Willow Creek, California, and it claims to be the Bigfoot capital of the world. It's in the heart of Six Rivers Forest, I've repeated all this, but in Northern California near the Oregon border, and they have like a Bigfoot museum, a Bigfoot motel. They have a restaurant that makes a Bigfoot burger, which is like a pound and a half once I've all the toppings are on it, so it's a little bit wild. But that has been the place where the most sightings have occurred according to this town. So going with your theme, it's also pretty remote. So, I mean, if I'm somebody who at the full moon transforms into a Bigfoot, like, yeah, I'm going to live close to the woods where I can, like, go hide out for a couple nights.
Yeah.
And then come back and go back to my day job. You know? Why not? But I want to go. That's what I'm saying.
We will definitely go, but that's just another TV show right there. That's another TV show right there. Wait. And that, you know, is Dick Wolf still alive? Because I feel like we need him. This needs maybe like a Law and Order vibe. Because he's the mayor by day, but then he's...
Yeah. I was going to say, what if he's like the detective? Like he's the town detective, and that's how he protects himself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the conflict?
The conflict is that people keep dying in the area and they think it's Bigfoot, but maybe it's like, it's Pacific Northwest. Like that's where all the serial killers go. So maybe he's like actually tracking down serial killers and he's working with the FBI and also protecting himself. You know what? There you go.
Yes.
Boom. Boom.
Yes. And the central, like that's, yeah. And then, okay. So our overarching theme is this thriller investigation kind of drama, but at the human center of it is a man struggling with the duality of his identity.
Yeah. He's just trying to do his best, you know? There we go. We have like four different ideas.
And they're all, yep.
Based off of very loose research that I did. Yeah. I did want to give you like one other just fun fact about Bigfoot.
Give it.
They're known for neatly stacking rocks. That's all. Just going out into the woods.
What?
Just making a nice little pile of rocks, which I think it's mostly in New Mexico, definitely in Arizona. I think in Sedona, Arizona. If you ever go on a hike, you will find just piles of rocks like neatly stacked. And it's supposed to be vortexes that have like a lot of spiritual energy. I'm just saying maybe Bigfoot is out in the desert in Arizona and is very connected to the energies that kind of course throughout the world.
Is
and it's just
that
stacking
what they're
rocks.
For?
The ones out in Sedona? Those vortexes?
Yeah. Vortexes. No, the little stone piles.
So depending on like where you're at, but I know in Sedona, if you're ever out there and you see like little stacks of rocks, it's supposed to be a vortex. And that's all I know.
Vortex of what?
Energy? I don't
what
know.
What kind
I didn't...
of energy?
Good energy?
I thought they were only used for practical reasons, like so people didn't get lost. Like they were like makeshift trailheads.
I think sometimes they
but
are,
now
but
you're
if you...
telling me they're a vortex to another dimension?
Dude, I think you and I need to do a little like road trip. We're going to start in Willow Creek, look for Bigfoot. We'll make our way through other parts of California. We'll look it up. But then eventually we have to get to Sedona because there are like shops that are like vortex stores. And it's like it's all about finding vortexes, like how to hunt for vortexes in the Arizona desert. So we can go there. We'll go to the ghost town.
I need to listen.
Uh-huh. What's up?
I need you to look me in the eyes right now because we can see each other.
Uh-huh.
And I need you to know that who we are is we're already eclectic. We're flamboyant. We have very, very colorful interests. However, if we do this trip, it will be the point of no return. And so I have to ask you while we look at one another, is this a trip that you're willing to take?
Absolutely. Let's do it. Okay. See what happens. Chaos. Okay. Embrace it. Okay. You know, why not?
I see a lot of tie-dyed caftans in your future.
Just a lot of just turquoise jewelry. Just dripping from my
You're going to become a turquoise jewelry designer.
God, just making soap out of plants. in my next iteration,
yeah,
I will become. Yeah. Oh man, just smelling like patchouli oil all the time. Maybe. Why not? You know?
I'm into that for you. I feel like you would glad thrive.
You are. I'm not.
I feel like you would thrive as like the owner of a crystal shop.
I feel like I would. It would be a performance piece. Do you know what I mean? See how long I can keep this going.
Would love to manage that performance piece for you. You let me know what you need and I'll make it happen.
I'm going to need a lot of very flowy dresses. Great. Oh, man.
I'm good. Okay, wardrobe check. What else you got for me?
Probably going to need – my hair is not long and flowy enough, so maybe some extensions. Okay. I think we're going to need to delete some of my self-awareness because it's going to involve a lot of cultural appropriation for me to pull that off, and I might struggle with that piece. So
are you or that. Are you not an actor?
Oh, that's true. I don't know anymore, man.
See, you're already leaning into the part. I don't even know, man.
I don't know. I'm just here, just letting the universe talk to me. Anyway.
Yeah. Done. So game over.
There you go.
And then next thing you know, you're getting written up in Goop. Everybody's getting that newsletter. And you are getting calls left and right.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
From manager, from everybody.
I feel like I can't trick Gwyneth Paltrow though, because if I do, then I might wind up blacklisted when I'm like, this was all a hoax, guys. This is not who I am.
Nah. I feel like Gwynny is a down ass bitch. And I feel like she would appreciate the joke. Because it is coming in the name of art. And I feel like if anyone can appreciate that, it's her. Because she gets down. Right. You know her one cigarette a week that she sucks down on Sundays? Like, she gets down. I love her. I love her so much. I feel like people only see, like, the superficial, like, Goop peddling person. But I see her for what she's taking us for a ride. And she is benefiting from it. And honestly, I love to see a lady thrive.
I'm confused by her, just straight up. Like, I'm like, what is happening? Why does this candle maybe smell like your vagina?
I'm obsessed.
Why are
with
we
her.
Selling a tassel for $300? Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but you know what? Then she showed up to that award ceremony in that sheer, like, beige number, if you remember, and she showed us all. What happens when we pay attention to Goop? She looked gorgeous. She's thriving. So honestly, if she shows up, and that's after everyone's hated on her, she gets so much hate and she still shows up looking like that. Like, that's a girl I'm going to get behind. I'm like, because you know what? I look at her and I'm like, something there. You got it together. Like, People think there is a certain, like, a woman should have a certain portfolio of life achievements to be considered successful and considered thriving. Mm-hmm. And, like, she turns them all on their heads. Like, yes, she's, like, a mom and all of that, but, like, her relationships have been all in the press. And, like, she runs her own business and everybody hates on her, but she has, like, a cult-like following. And then she shows up to the Golden Globes. And she's just, like, obviously stunning. She's on the Bigfoot diet. Like, 2% body fat.
Yep. Should we get into records
of the week? It felt a little, it felt a little bit more R&B today. Yeah, a little bit mellow, a little
more chill. Okay.
I have a reco that it ties in both of our topics today.
Oh, does it?
Is yours related to?
No, not at all.
I was kind of worried we would have the same one. So my reco of the week is a social media account available on Instagram. It originated on TikTok, but it is available on Instagram also. And it is @Bigfoot_Bay, B-A-E. And it is this person who dresses up in a Bigfoot like costume, mm-hmm. but also adds like a pink belt and a pink like bow yes. in the hair on like a bandana on the head and uh-huh. just does like dance numbers and like drinks iced coffee and is like it's like if Bigfoot and like Elle Woods had a baby.
Oh
and
my
it's
God.
The account just
you
brings
send me one of
so
these videos.
Much joy. Yes. So it just so like good. Sends me so much joy. So if you're looking to like get your giggles on and just see someone mm-hmm. that is actually a genuinely amazing dancer, but like is also in a Bigfoot suit, check it out, Bigfoot Bay.
Bigfoot
That's my record
Bay.
Of the week.
Amazing. Thank you for that. That sounds so ridiculous. My reco of the week is if you haven't seen it, it's on Disney Plus, but Raya and the Last Dragon. I watched it earlier this week. It is so, it's just so like warm and fuzzy and it is an animated film.
Is that the one that Aquafina is the dragon?
Aquafina is in it. Yeah, she plays the dragon. She's so funny. Alan Tudyk is in it and he plays another animal. So in Moana, he played the chicken. Yeah. And this one, he plays the character's name is Tuk Tuk, but he looks like a giant roly poly.
That chicken was the best part of Moana.
I know. My favorite thing is there's an interview with him and he's quoted as just saying, I went to Juilliard. That agreed to be in this film where he just makes little cute noises. Like he has no lines. And when I saw like Alan Tudyk plays Tuk Tuk, I was like, of fucking course he does. Like it's very cute. It kind of has like, it also, if you like Moana, I think you would like this. It's sort of the same overarching theme of like a young girl who is doing everything she can for her community and for her family and like for the world versus like finding true love and like marrying a prince. Like that's not, there's no love story happening. It's very cute. It's not a musical. So if you're like, I hate musicals, there's no music in this one.
Yeah.
It's really good. I cried a few times. It's really sweet.
I love that after decades of peddling gender stereotypes to us, Disney has now decided to flip them, where like now a lot of the stories that have a little girl protagonist are about being brave, not for the sake of a prince, but for the sake of honor or family or whatever the case may be. And like going through all of these difficulties and showing resilience and keeping on and achieving her goals. Mm-hmm. And the things where the boys are like the protagonists, if you think back to like Coco or something, it's about, or even Soul. It was about someone like finding their truest self, finding the emotions and like validating that men and boys can have emotions and feel them and speak on them and that it should be normalized as just like an activity of a human being. And so I'm really into it. I have not seen that movie yet, but I have heard a lot of really great things. So
yeah,
I know what I'll be checking out.
I will say if you have like a large screen television, I am very jealous of you. We have like a decent sized TV, but it is visually so stunning. Mm-hmm. Like the details that they do in like Raya's hair.
Yeah.
There were moments where I was like just watching. I was like, how do I make my hair look like that? Like it's so beautiful. To watch.
Adding Pixar animator to our list of dream guests.
Oh my God. I would die. It would be amazing. Yeah, it's visually stunning. Stunning, stunning, stunning. And then very quickly, also, I watched In the Heights last night. So give it a watch. There is a lot of criticism about the colorism in it because all of the main cast are light skinned. So there's a lot. It's very – so know that going in. But it is also just – if you are a fan of musicals, I would recommend. You see, I haven't listened to the original soundtrack. I've never seen the original play. I know there's a lot of differences from it. But also Into the Heights – or In the Heights is quite good.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen the play and it's an amazing piece. And if you just want to go on a Anthony Ramos, that's his name, right?
Yes.
I'm so bad with names. If you want to go on an Anthony Ramos binge, you can also watch. I watched it, rewatched it. No, watched it for the first time. Sorry. Wow. I think I just had like a little mini stroke. Watched it for the first time last night. Romeo Must Die. But it's like one of those that I feel like a millennial, any millennial that grew up like near a city will have a very special nostalgia about this. It's based in San Francisco and it's the same like cast and director and everything of the guy that did like Cradle to the Grave. Like, so it's like DMX, Aaliyah, Jet Li doing his thing, like Isaiah Washington, like all of these incredible, incredible people. And Anthony Ramos makes a little guest spot in there. And I remember like seeing him, he's young and his like curly hair is so long. And I was just like, good for him. Like,
baby.
He's been, but like, if you think that's like, if you think about it, that's what you got to keep in mind, people. Like, yes, he got crazy famous with Hamilton and he's just been like soaring up higher, but like, he's been at the game for a while and he's done like, that movie came out in the early 2000s, Romeo Must Die, and he was doing a bit role and he's just been at it. And it took him like a decade to get the roles that are less than, but like all those years not having this kind of success, this level of success or like people knowing his name in this way.
Yeah.
And he just kept at it and he got his break. Like, so anyone that believes like the overnight thing or that like you just get, and the thing about it also that I want to say is like the amount of time it takes for that to happen like is universal. So not like, not like, oh, there's a set limit, but like if you make it after a decade, like that means it's not too, like, if you think you have a decade or more to live, like, it's not too late to start now. And maybe in 10 years, like, your dream will be actualized. So, like, I think it goes back to our, it's never too late to do the thing. You just got to actually work it. Sorry, I'm not letting you get a word in.
No. That's fine. I was just going to say, it's like, it's also the thing with, I think, being a creative, especially in really anything, is the thing with it is, like, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Like, It just takes a long time. You just got to stick with it.
Yeah. Amazing.
All right. Well,
all right.
Thank y'all so much.
Thank you for being here.
Love you guys.
Yeah.
What is our farewell? What do we say? Oh, yeah. If you want to.
We don't have a farewell.
Give us your recos of the week.
Give us a call on our hotline. That's probably the best. Leave us a voicemail. Bobby left us an awesome voicemail. I've started watching Legendary. Thank you for that shout out. That like. Amazing. I love it. So yeah, call our hotline, leave us a voicemail, your recos or any thoughts you have on today's episode. 707-892-0401. Your girl finally learned it.
Ayo.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Peony, where we believe that culture informs all that we do and art can truly be anything. If you like this episode, please leave us a review, rate us, tell all your friends to subscribe, follow, download. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Talk to you soon.